Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The Reverend Jeffrey Hemmer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It seems no little bit peculiar to preach on the third commandment to a bunch of people who've taken time out of their work day, presumably to do exactly what the Catechism says the third commandment is all about, gladly to hear and receive the Word of God. I don't imagine you're here for the people watching, or because all the work back at your desk is finished. You're here, and rightly so, for the Word. So pat yourself on the back. And get ready your water cooler speech to your coworkers who skipped chapel today, letting them know they really needed to hear that. But before you put your shoulder out of socket with all your self-congratulations, remember that the commandments don't set up a you versus them contrast. The only contest is you versus the law. You versus the holiness of God. And how well do you do? You're here, and that's a good start. But is your mind resting in the Word or preoccupied with thoughts about the rest of your day? If you're proud of being here and contemptuous of those who are not, not only are you breaking the third, but now also the first commandment. Will the word you hear this morning make any difference in the rest of your day, or is this just another task in your to-do list? Who truly hears the word as he ought? Who truly loves the word with an undivided heart? But maybe we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. There is no explicit commandment in these three verses as Moses records them in Genesis chapter 2. This is just the pleasant end of the idyllic creation account. The Decalogue doesn't come until Sinai. This is much more basic. For 6 days God has worked. On the seventh day, having finished his work, he rested. He wasn't tired. He was finished. Work and rest is a pattern pressed so deeply into creation that even God abides by it. You fight against it at your own peril. It was a busy week, after all. The Creator had earned his rest. For 6 days he had labored tirelessly. On the sixth day of the week, he looked out over his creation, his brow furrowed like the soil, soiled and bloody from the thorns, his arms stretched out over his handiwork, his hands bloodied from the intensity of his work, his shoulders broad and strong, now beaten, bruised, and also bloody. All of this was good. Behold, it was very good. Finally, his work complete, he received a sip of sour wine and said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head, gave up his spirit, and rested. Sabbathed, dead. In Jesus, the incarnate Word, the Creator's holy Saturday Sabbath in the tomb, every Sabbath is complete. When you were joined into his death through the waters of holy baptism, his full and final Sabbath became yours as well. Preaching on the third commandment, Luther notes the difference between this commandment and the others. What does it mean to make the Sabbath holy, sanctify the Sabbath? How then does such sanctification take place? That we occupy ourselves with God's word and exercise ourselves therein. For the word of God is the sanctuary above all sanctuaries, yea, the only one which we Christians know and have. For though we had the bones of all the saints or all the holy and consecrated garments upon a heap, still that would help us nothing. For all that is a dead thing which can sanctify nobody. But God's word is the treasure which sanctifies everything, and by which even all the saints themselves were sanctified. At whatever hour then God's word is taught, preached, heard, read, or meditated upon, there the person, day, and work are thereby sanctified. Not because of the external work, but because of the word, which makes saints of us all. This day, this time carved out of your otherwise ordinary work day, is to make you holy. Hearing and meditating upon the word of God does precisely this. The word itself is the true holy thing. You do nothing to make it more or less holy, but it works upon you. Luther continues, note therefore that the force and power of this commandment lies not in the resting, but in the sanctifying. So that to this day belongs a special holy exercise, for other works and occupations are not properly called holy exercises unless the man himself first be holy. But here is a work to be done by which the man himself is made holy, which is done, as we have heard, alone through God's word. For this then, fixed places, times, persons, and the entire external order of worship have been created and appointed, so that it may be publicly in operation. Since therefore so much depends upon God's word that without it no holy day can be sanctified, we must know that God insists upon a strict observance of this commandment and will punish all who despise his word and are not willing to hear and learn it, especially at the time appointed for the purpose. Know therefore that you must be concerned not only about hearing, but also about learning and retaining it in memory. And do not think that it is optional with you or of no great importance, but that it is God's commandment, who will require of you how you have learned, heard, and honored his word. For let me tell you this, even though you know it perfectly and be already master in all things, still you are daily in the dominion of the devil, who ceases neither day or night to steal unawares upon you, to kindle in your heart unbelief and wicked thoughts against the foregoing and all the commandments. Therefore, you must always have God's word in your heart, upon your lips and in your ears. But where the heart is idle and the word does not sound, he breaks in and has done the damage even before we are aware. On the other hand, such is the efficacy of the word, whenever it is seriously contemplated, heard, and used, that it is bound never to be without fruit, but always awakens new understanding, pleasure, and devoutness, and produces a pure heart and pure thoughts. For these words are not inoperative or dead, but creative, living words. As you have heard in previous week's meditation upon Genesis 1, the means by which God has brought about his creation, he gives to you, week after week, day after day. The instrument of his word works upon you as certainly as it worked upon the nothingness to create light, to separate water from water, to create dry land that brought forth vegetation, to cause sun, moon, and stars to fill the expanse of the heavens, to populate the waters with fish and the skies with birds, to bring about all the animals that go upon the land, and finally to make man in his own image. One day is not enough. One hour a day is not enough. One week of perfect chapel attendance is not enough. You must be wholly possessed by the word. And you are. You are his possession. You rest in his completed work. Jesus' Sabbath is yours. And with his word, he spends your lifetime making you holy. His word is always good for you. It fights against the devil, the world, and the sinful inclinations of your own heart. His work is complete, finished, very good. So are you. In the name of Jesus, amen.